We're doing Gemara Brachos. We're up to Yud-Gimel and Aleph. We're in the middle of the Mishnah. We had seen that if one reads Shema in the time of he's reading the Torah, and the time of Shema comes, if he focuses, then he's Yotze. We had discussed that there are breaking points in Shema, between Shema, Vayom Shema, and Vayomer, and Emet V'Yatziv, and there is a machloket whether you reply to someone who greets you during those times, depending on whether it's someone you owe honor to or someone you have to fear. There's a machlokas, how far you have to go to reply or to greet someone who you meet. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha, we're up to four lines into the wide lines. Rabbi Yeshua, the son of Rabbi Akiva, was bold, said, Lama kadma parashat Shema levayam Shema? Why does Shema, being that Shema, Vayom, Shemoa, and Vayomer, really are written in three separate places in the Torah? So yes, technically you're supposed to say these three paragraphs every morning and every evening. But why did our sages arrange it in this order, that you first say Shema, and then Vayom Shema, and then Vayomer? Lama kadma parashat Shema levayam Shemoa? Kedei sheikabel alav ol machut Shemaim tchila, v'achar kach mekabel alav ol mitzvot. Because first you accept the yoke of heaven, when you realize that God is running the show and gave us the Torah, then the natural next step, the next order of business, is accepting the responsibility to perform the mitzvot. Vayam Shema levayomer. Why does Vayam Shema precede Vayomer? Shevayam Shema noeg ben vayomu ben balayla. Because Vayam Shema, that parasha discusses learning Torah, which is relevant by day and night. Velimatem otam benechem, the Torah says, teach your children Torah day and night. So Vayam Shema is relevant day and night. And Vayomer discusses the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is only applicable to garments that you wear by day, and therefore it's less applicable than learning Torah. So that's why Vayom Shemoya precedes Shevayam Shema Noeg Ben Bayom Ben Balayla Vayom Eno Noeg La Bayom Bilvad. Says the Gemara, from this that the Mishnah said that if you're just reading the Torah and you come across the parasha of Shema, you do not fulfill your obligation of reading Shema unless you have in mind to fulfill that obligation. Shema mina, from here I hear mitzvot zichot kavana, that the performance of mitzvos requires that one has in mind that he's doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. And Rabbah says in Talmud Rosh Hashanah, we'll see it at the end of the Masechet Bezrat Hashem, that if one blows the shofar just to play music, he doesn't have a mind for the mitzvah of shofar. Rabbah says over there, he's fulfilled his obligation. And here we said, if you read the parasha of Shema, but you don't have in mind that you're fulfilling a biblical obligation, you did not fulfill your obligation. So here we see, mitzvot zichot kavana, the performance of mitzvah requires kavana, that requires the intent that I'm hereby doing a biblical mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no, this isn't a proof to that opinion, because ma'im kiven lipo likot, when the Mishnah says he focuses his intention, that means he's focused on the reading. Likot v'akakari, the Gemara says, what do you mean? But he is reading. That's what he's doing. What does he have to focus on reading for? If it doesn't mean focused on the mitzvah, so then what's it talking about? Answers the Gemara, no, because the Mishnah is talking where he's not really reading, he's reading it as in proofreading. So when he reads it, he doesn't read it the way it should be read. He's reading the words the way they're written. Let's say totofos. You don't remember if totofos has two vavs, so you read it tatfat. Then you remember there's no vav in the tet or peitaf, meaning you read it the way it's spelled. It's like in English, if you wanted to spell something in your proofreading, so you read over here, it says kula didn't, right? Couldn't has a silent L, and you pronounce the L so that you remember there's an L there. If you're reading a knight in shining armor, you read it a knight in shining armor so that you know that there's a K over there. You read knight and then you read knight. So in Shema, if you're reading it in order to know that you didn't misspell anything, so then you're not reading it correctly. Our Mishnah, when it says focus on reading it in order to fulfill the obligation, is not an indication that you have to focus to perform a mitzvah, but rather it's discussing a situation where he wasn't even reading it grammatically correct. He was reading it as a proofreader would, and that's why the Mishnah says if he's focused, he fulfills his obligation. This is just the Gemara's attempt at giving an answer. Technically, our original understanding stands. The halachic ruling is that biblical mitzvos do require kavanah, and the simple reading of the Mishnah is what stands, bottom line. The Gemara just means to say you can't prove it from here, because we could say that the Mishnah is talking about such a circumstance. At the end of the day, the halacha that we pasken is that when you do biblical mitzvot, it is incumbent that a person has in mind, I am hereby performing a biblical mitzvah. And that's why in my siddur I wrote myself a reminder, before I read Shema, I should have in mind, I'm hereby doing a biblical mitzvah. Before Birkat HaMazon, before benching, I also wrote myself that reminder, because the biblical mitzvahs require that kavanah, and that's why it's also good to have in mind before we put tefillin. I'm doing a biblical mitzvah when I'm putting on tefillin. I'm doing a biblical mitzvah when I put on tzitzit. Some things we make a blessing, but unfortunately that's not enough for us. You know, we say the words just flow out and we don't really think about it. So a person has to put himself reminders that it's incumbent on the performance of the mitzvah. We'll pick up here next time.